For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, good afternoon. We're on chapter 34, Lamed Daled, Yeshayahu. So what's really interesting about Yeshaya is that mixed in with what was happening then, he has messianic visions of the Mashiach's time. And we don't know a lot about what's going to happen when the Mashiach comes. So it's very nice, like it gives us this picture, but you have to keep on going back and forth, you know, with what's actually going on in his kingdom. Now, why did he do that? And this is one of the reasons why it's important to learn the prophets, and that is that there are times when people face very difficult times, and they want to know, is it worth persevering? What's going to be? Is it going to work out in the end? And the Mashiach really symbolizes that, yes, it will. There will be, you know, that in the end it'll work out, and that even though, you know, we sinned and we get into this bad habit and Hashem gets angry with us and we get kicked out of our land, and what's going to be? Will there ever be justice? There's the wicked Gentiles, murderers that walk around and seem like they can do whatever they want. Will they ever be brought to justice? And people living under the Nazis or living under the Cossacks or living under different wicked people would wonder, when would it end? But if they learn Yeshaya, they have that vision that that it'll happen and it will come. And we talk about that, how the people that have faith, and we're lucky that in our time we've been able to see some of the prophecies come true. And some of the big wicked nations that seem like they would go on forever are long gone. And so it should give us, you know, when we face our minor enemies, you know, they're just at the end of a long list. As we say in the Haggadah, you know, every generation, that Ahmadinejad is gone. He's been voted, you know, he's out of there, and his influence is gone, and can't say that his guy who took over for him is much better in Iran, but it shouldn't. To the believing Jew, we always know that we look back at history and we see that with Hashem's help we'll overcome these different mighty empires. And what seems like, you know, the Roman Empire, which lasted hundreds, thousands of, was it over 1,000 years? I don't know if it was quite 1,000 years, but it was quite a long time. And now you can find it in the ruins, you know, and they're gone. All the wickedness, all the evil, and in our time, the Nazis came and went pretty quickly. And the communists, they came and went pretty quick, just in our own time. I find interesting is the war in Syria. You don't like to see innocent people being killed, but if you had to pick a country that hates Jews, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody more than the Syrians that are more so than the Egyptians and Jordanians, more so than any of the neighbor, even the Palestinians. The Syrians are just very anti-Semitic, very hateful, we have no idea why Hashem is doing this to them. But the fact that they're an enemy of our people, and that they wouldn't have hesitated to butcher innocent Jews and support people, that all the terrorists were located in Damascus, every single group, and now they all had to leave. You know, they're all fighting against each other. It's a dream come true. You know, Hezbollah's fighting against Al Qaeda. It's really but the fact that instead of fighting against us, that their cities are being destroyed and they're being that there's a vengeance that you know, people that have for you know, tens of years have sat around and every time it reminds us of Saddam Hussein. You know, we have short memories, but he used to pay every time there was a suicide bomber. He was paid for by Saddam Hussein. Used to pay. That's a well-known thing that he paid the family or whatever, the paid a reward to anybody that blew themselves up on his Jewish bus. you know, and he sent the scuds over, and, you know, so look what happened to him. And so when these people are in power, you think, how can they get away with this? How can they do it? You know, is there no vengeance? Is there no justice? Where is Hashem? And then if you have a little patience and you've been around a little while, you see that look what happened to Saddam Hussein. Look what happened to his sons. Look what, he got everything he deserved. And so too, we hope all the enemies of the Jewish people will get everything they deserve. And so it's not easy when a person is experiencing that, when a person experiences is being harmed by a person who's evil. But we have to have faith that Hashem will do justice. Chavetz Chaim, who lived a long time, he lived till his 90s. In those times in Poland, that was unheard of because they didn't have antibiotics and they didn't have medical care, and people just didn't live that long. And part of it was, they say, because it says if you're careful never to speak lashon hara, that Hashem will reward you with long life. That's the. But when he was very young, he remembered there was a landlord where somebody, the breadwinner of the house, died, and they couldn't pay their rent, and he kicked out the widow, and it was the middle of the winter, and he just. You know, if you're a landlord, that's what you do. If your tenant doesn't pay, you kick him out, you know. And the Chavetz Chaim remembered that, you know, that, you know, this was the cold of the winter, and it wasn't her fault, and it wasn't any, you know, her husband had died, and on top of that, she was being made homeless, and it was just a terrible thing. He couldn't imagine, you know, everybody was waiting for the lightning to come down and strike the guy, you know, and nothing happened. And he remembered 30, 40, he doesn't say how many, many, many years later, this landlord who was wealthy and arrogant, and he got bitten by a wild dog, and he got rabies, and he had a horrible death. He started foaming at the mouth, and he had, you know, rabies is a terrible. He went mad, and people were wondering what did he do to deserve such a terrible thing? The Chavetz Chaim said, you know, said I remember he was there when the Torah says that you have to be very careful with a widow or somebody that's experienced a widow or an orphan or someone that's experienced a loss like that, person, you have to be careful with everybody's feelings, but certainly a widow, it's certainly in the middle of the winter, you know. And but the idea is that vengeance or justice will come. And I've mentioned to you that our Christian society makes it a bad word to talk about vengeance, about justice. It's like that's because of Christianity is all mixed up. There's really nothing wrong with wicked people being punished. Obviously, we prefer they not be wicked. Obviously, we prefer if they change and become good. But when somebody embodies evil and they've harmed people and destroyed lives, we should be happy when they are, when they get what's coming to them. There's nothing wrong with Ba'avad Rishayim Rina, when the wicked are destroyed, there's happiness. There's nothing good. So we don't necessarily have faith in the legal system. You could argue that maybe they made a mistake. Maybe the guy, you know, maybe the person was young, and if he was older and more mature, he would change. He's not the same person. Maybe so. But when a person has harmed people and destroyed lives and they get their punishment, then we have to realize that's a sign that there's a judgment in the world. And we believe very strongly in judgment. It's just that whatever, we don't necessarily believe it has to be taken care of here and now. We know that Hashem has a way of, you know, whatever doesn't get taken care of here in this world, there's another place that gets taken care of in Gehenna, you know, where the people that are, and we have faith in that, and reward also doesn't necessarily come here. But this first chapter here is about the punishment of those nations. Let's begin, 34. Kirva goyim lishmoya. He said, come near, the nations in here. It's very interesting, too. Sometimes the nations listen to Jewish prophets. We find that with Yonah, you know, with the Gentiles. Many of the Gentiles were open-minded in a sense, and they believed in all religions. In other words, I worship your idol, I worship my idol, if you have a God, if you have a prophet. And so there were many Gentiles that came to the land of Israel, that came to the temple, that had faith in the Jewish prophets. And so sometimes they said prophecies, and so he said, Kirvu goyim lishmoa, come listen, come near, the nations should hear, l'umim. And the different peoples, Hikshivu, Tishma Ha'oretz, and the land should hear. Umalei Tevav, and all the corners of the world, the Kol Tzeata, and all the people on it. Verse 2, Ki Ketzef L'Hashem, because Hashem is angry, Al Kol HaGoyim, on all of these nations, on the nations that have harmed the Jewish people, on the nations that seek to harm the Jewish people. The Chema, Al Kol Tzeva'am, and there's a wrath on their armies, their bloody armies, Hechrimam. Hashem will destroy these armies, Naftam Latavach, and they'll be there for the slaughter. Verse 3, V'chalei Mishluchu, and their bodies will be thrown around, the Pigrechem Yala. Usually at the very least, a person at least has a respectable burial. These nations will be punished, almost like what happens in a field of war, where the bodies are just blown, just left out there. V'nemosu har midamam, and the mountains will melt from their blood. Verse 4. V'nemoku kol tzva hashamayim. Here it describes, whenever something happens here, there's a parallel in heaven or up above. In other words, there's a world down here and there's a world up there. And there's two parallel worlds. And sometimes when we look at a battle where we see just the Jewish people, the army of Israel is facing off against their enemies, and we only see a few, our soldiers are outnumbered down here, but we know from the book of the prophets, but when you look at the picture up there, our forces are much more than the opposing forces. Another idea is that when a person does a good deed, he carries that with him. And when a person has done evil, he carries that with him. And sometimes that's in this other world. In other words, when a person comes, he comes with the good deeds that he has. We might sense it, but we don't necessarily see it. Sometimes you find this, a person can sense someone who's been deceased. They feel like that presence of that person. You feel it very strong sometimes at certain points. There's no question that there's another world that we don't necessarily see. We believe that Hashem appoints an angel for every nation to speak up for them. Each nation has their the fate of different nations is discussed, and we believe that there's a certain fairness to everybody has like a representative, and it's kind of pictured up on high. When Hashem gets angry with the nation, he not only punishes the nation, but he throws down their angel up on high. One of the reasons that Yaakov Avinu had to defeat the angel of Esav was because he was showing that he was not only defeating Esav, but he was defeating the spiritual power behind Esav. He wrestled with the angel. So here it's describing the whatever good part of that nation, whatever defense attorney they had that was up in the heavens that until now was on their side, that also is going to be thrown down. V'nimoku kol tzva ha'shamayim, all the heavenly hosts, v'nigilu k'sefer ha'shamayim, and it'll be rolled up, the kol tzva yivul, and all of their heavenly power, whatever merit these nations had, is going to rot, k'niv, like leaves that wither, or like an old vine, migefen, k'nivolus mitena, or an old fig. Ki rav sam b'shamayim karbi, because Hashem's sword is satiated. It needs to be filled. Hinei al Edom tered. It's going to come on Edom. Our understanding is that Edom are the Christian countries that it became. The Romans and the Christians and this could easily describe what happened during the World Wars, or it could describe the countries that use violence we usually see as that was the force of Edom. Edom was the one of the that uses violence or might to harm others. And so Hashem says that Edom is the one he's going to get. V'al'am chachri l'mishpat, and judgment will come. Verse 6, Kerev l'Hashem, it's Hashem's sword will be full of blood. Hadushna mechele midam karim v'tudim, and this blood is almost like the blood of sacrifices, and these people will be like a sacrifice. It'll be just like a sacrifice. It shows that Hashem's will is done. that a person is willing to give of himself and to submit himself to Hashem's authority, when Hashem brings punishment at the end of time on these nations, it'll be like a sacrifice. Ki zevach l'Hashem. Not only that, it'll be like a party, just like a sacrifice was very festive and very, this will be a slaughter of the nations. And he mentions Batra, which is one of the cities of the Edomites. V'teva gadol be'eretz Edom, and there'll be a big slaughter. V'yodu re'imim imam, and there'll be lots of wild animals that will go with them, with parim, imabirim, rapsa, artsamidam, and their blood will be, they use the word, it'll be full. In other words, when there's only a little bit of blood, it gets absorbed into the ground. But there'll be so much blood that it'll fill up the land. Va'afrim echelav yedushin, and their dust will be, it'll be atoned for, or it'll be satisfied with the slaughter of these wicked people. Verse 8, Ki yom nacham Hashem, there'll be a day of vengeance. There'll be a day when the punishment will come. Shnas shulumi l'ribs here. It's interesting. I was reading that in the German Jewish communities, they had a custom to read this Tisha B'Av afternoon, this part of Yeshaya. And Germany was in the path of the Crusades. And one of the things they did on the Crusades that a lot of people don't know is that before they decided to go to war against the infidel in the Middle East, many of them destroyed the infidel in their midst, and they wiped out innocent Jewish people in Europe. That was the and so they many of the communities of Germany and France were destroyed by the Crusaders. So they said this in the idea that it seemed like they got away with it, that at will they could go and destroy Jews and beat them up and kill them and be brutal. And Hashem was saying that there'll be a day of justice. Verse 9, Benefku nachleh lezefes. Now, what's interesting here is most of these things in their times you couldn't imagine. He's saying that their streams and they will turn into pitch and dust and there'll be smoke. Vahaisa artsu lezefes, and it'll be like a fire. Today, it's no problem. You've seen a modern battlefield, you know, that's been blown apart or after a nuclear bomb. Like any of these descriptions would fit. You know, we have no problem envisioning it. I mean, in those days, the most you could do was take a sword and, you know, kill a few people, but you had no dynamite, you had no explosions, you had no nuclear power, you had no... but these descriptions are descriptions of nuclear battles, and battles where with smoke and pitch and where the ground is destroyed and the rivers are full of soot and ashes. And, you know, again, in those times, it's hard to imagine how that would have happened. Today, we have no problem with that. It just describes them. You ever been to a battlefield or seen it, that's everything is blown up. And there'll be a fire that'll go day and night. Lolam Yala, some of the battlegrounds, there's so many shells that are fired that even many years later, I've heard that even in the World War I battlegrounds, they still have shells that go off every now and then. There's so many, there was just so much ammunition that was shot in different places. It's dangerous places. It'll go for generations. The smoke will go from generation. And these lands will be totally wiped out forever. Aiden over, but nobody will go in them. What's interesting here, in the area where they had that, in Russia, where they had the nuclear accident, Chernobyl, they describe it almost like this, where the land was kind of like destroyed, and you have a lot of wild animals. And the animals are very, you know, certain animals weren't affected by the radiation, and certain ones multiplied in funny ways. But it's like these empty, desolate towns full of all kinds of wild animals. I've read articles about it because they've had people that have gone back to to take pictures of that area around Chernobyl where they had that nuclear accident. And he describes it that what's going to happen to these big areas? You should coast to keep it. They'll be like owls and bats. And he calls it a pelican, but I don't know. These are owls and bats. Yinshuf, yorev, yishkunuvav, and notz el. In other words, in places that these are animals that are only come out in cities where there's no other things, they're going to be on these capitals or these big cities. The other thing is the ancient capitals of these governments like Assyria and Nimrod, and today you have to dig under the sand to find them. You know, you go to parts of Iraq, and they're, you know, they found the ruins of these ancient kingdoms, and they're just ruins. In other words, when those cities stood, they thought they'd last forever. They thought they were so big and so powerful and so mighty. And today you can go, and they're just ruins. The ancient empire, and the little Jewish people who were enslaved, who were persecuted, who were the minority, who time after time again were harmed. Here we are. Looking back on, 2,000 years of history, and those empires, they're all gone, and their capitals are gone. What about the big officer? They had plenty of proud officers. Verse 12, Choreha Einsham. You can't find them. Those big nobles. Einsham Malucha Yikru Lekosera Yafes. All the officers, all of the mighty people who used to represent those governments, they're Ephes, Ephes, nothing. Balsam Neseh Sirin. What about the palaces? Well, the palaces will be overgrown. Again, if you're into touring, you can go to these palaces of the, in the Middle East. I don't know how safe it is these days, but in Iraq and in Syria and Lebanon, they have these palaces of these ancient governments, and they're overgrown with thorns and thistles and briars and the and snakes. He's describing it. Now imagine if somebody would say, Manhattan, it's going to be overgrown with, bats and snakes and L.A. And you would say, these cities are going to last forever. No, it can't be, right? So I don't know. I don't know that these cities have, Hashem has decided to destroy them. But in ancient times, when you talked about a capital city that had stood for hundreds of years, and you'd say, make a prophecy like this, you'd say, come on, this is an exaggeration. How could this ever happen? Everybody, it's always going to be a capital city. Manhattan is always going to be Manhattan. But these cities, if you go there today, even the Roman ones, they're just for tourists. They're underground. They're ruins. Now he describes the pig shoots. There'll be like cats around there. He calls it a marten. I'm not even sure what a marten is. I thought it was a cat, some kind of wild cat. Let me just check. I'm on 14. The Matsudas just says these are like small wild animals, like maybe rascals, squirrels. I don't know. The seer al rehu, and they'll be all around. Aksham hirgu lilis, and he says he calls that there'll be the demons in these places. Umatzelo manoach. There's a debate here whether lilis there's a description of a female demon. It's called lilis. So there was like a feminist magazine that was called, decided to call themselves after this female demon. They couldn't find, they didn't want to talk about Sarah or Esther or Devorah or of all the famous women, they had to name themselves after the female demon called Lilith. There's a debate about whether there exist today these demons or these forces. We believe that there is a view that they no longer exist, demons, and then there is a view that they do exist, that there's certain destructive forces that are out there that make certain places dangerous. Certain, there may be things that we don't see. We're used to the idea, computers are a good example of that, where sometimes everything is fine and they just get, you argue, well, they've got a virus or something, but some hidden force went and just totally, everything was fine and last time you used it, everything worked great, and then it's all, just like that, it gets jammed, it gets a demon, so to speak. It gets,
used to say gremlins.
The gremlins, right. Today, we have words for things, we call them infections, things that you can't see. They couldn't see it. So today we might have more sophisticated names for these forces. It's a virus or it's an infection, it's germs. But the bottom line is there are destructive forces out there that are controlled by Hashem, whether we can see them or we can't see them. If you want, you can give them a name, but they do exist. And he's saying that these areas will be inhabited by the demons or the gremlins, and that's where they're going to be over there. 15, Shamakina Kapos, and there'll be the Kapos, that's the owl, the Temala, the Bika, the Darga, the Tila, and they'll go in the shade over there. Aksham Nikatsu Dayus Ishuresa, so there'll be all kinds of vultures. I even saw that, apparently vulture is an ancient word. I saw that word in one of the commentaries. But when you ever see the birds of prey, it's really spooky when you hear the birds are like waiting to swoop down, and it's got to be pretty ruined and cut off and desolate if all you have are the vultures, and the birds like that. Now, if you want to know why this is going to happen, you just look it up. Look in Hashem's book, and each one of them, nothing's missing, everything Hashem promised. And all of the punishments that Hashem said would happen to these people, it did. Kipi Hashemu, because it was the word of Hashem, Verucha Hu Kifsin, and in his breath he gathered them. Hu Pipulem Goro, and every person has a lot, and their day will come. The Yadu Chalkalahem, and they got their portion, because there's a justice in the world. The Dor Vador Yishkenubo, and these wild creatures will inhabit those areas. And, we're going to do next chapter too, so I don't want to end on that note. Even though it's not a bad note, the next, I guess part of the we don't like to combine, wickedness and punishment and justice. It has to be for a higher purpose. It's for a purpose so that the people that are good can enjoy the goodness of Hashem and get rewarded for their sacrifices and their good deeds. And so, after he sees the vision of what will happen to the Gentiles, now he goes back to the land of Israel and to the Jewish people, what will happen there. So he says the following, Yesusa Midbar Vitzia. The desert, the places, the abandoned, empty places, the land of Israel, which was abandoned and empty and desolate, and was like in mourning, is going to rejoice and have a rebirth. The Tegel Arava and the plains, the Tifra, and the places will become fruitful and sprout. They have, it's the name of a city in Israel today, Tifrach, you see that, where it'll blossom like a rose. So the name of the city is Blossom, Tifrach. It's one of the cities in the Negev. And it had blossomed, but when they called it that name, it was a joke. They went out in the desert and it looked like no one's ever going to live there, and nobody want to live there, and it's like the miracle of our time. And so these desolate, so we have, on the one hand, we have these big capital cities of these Gentiles that nobody ever envisioned would fall, and they're going to be destroyed and desolate and overgrown, and there'll be wild animals there. And then we have the Jewish places that were mourning, that were barren, are going to sprout and regrow and are going to change. Verse 2, Parak Tifrach. It's going to blossom and re-blossom. It's going to blossom. Parak Tifrach, in Hebrew, whenever you double it, it means put the focus. It's like the Togel Av Gilas, and they will rejoice. Veranen, and they'll sing. Kavod HaLevanon, we talked about the cedars of the Lebanon that were cut down. The temple area was called the Lebanon, the area where we got white and pure. The Beit HaMikdash was called Lebanon, which means like a whitener. That's why in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, if you want like a white sour cream, it's called it's like a yogurt. But Lebanon means to whiten. Lavan is to whiten. So the Beit HaMikdash was called Lebanon. What happened is the trees from the Beit HaMikdash came from Lebanon. So that's, I don't know how Lebanon took that name, but in the books of Tanakh, Lavanon always referred to the Beit HaMikdash. And the reason why is that people get dirty with sin. When a person sins, there's nothing, a person is stained by that sin. And where you get clean, where you get white, is the Beit HaMikdash. It was called the whitener, the cleaner. That was where a person had a chance to purify themselves. It was the place where you got purity. And so the Lebanon, which we described was the Beit HaMikdash and the forest around there that was destroyed, now is going to sink. Nitenlo, Hadar Carmel, and the Carmel, Vashiron, these are the big areas in Israel. Hey, Meiru Kavod Hashem. They will see the glory of Hashem. Hadar Elokeinu, and the word Hadar is the word for beauty. It's such a nice word. There's a brand in New York called Hadar, but it means like beautiful. It's just a brand, but they chose the word Hadar. Hadar, the land of Israel will see the glory and the beauty of Hashem. Chazak Yadayim Rafos. Now, what about, we don't have strength anymore. Our hands are weak. So no problem. Hashem will give us koyach. He will give us strength in the hands of the weak. Now, not only are the hands weak, but the knees are weak. You can't stand if you got weak knees. So Hashem will make the knees. He's going to fix the hands and fix the knees so that we can stand and we can have the strength. We all know that. That's the verse 4. Now, sometimes you're strong, but in your heart, you don't have the strength. So Hashem says to those that are in their hearts, have lost hope, don't have the strength, Hashem says, Hisku, be strong. That's really, when you think about it, we say Yasher Koyach, have strength. That's the, the world, either you're strong or you're not. We think that strength is something that is a gift from Hashem. Hashem can give a person strength, and a person can develop strength. So Hashem will give strength to the arms and to the knees and also to the heart. Altiru, don't be afraid. Hine Elokeichem Nachum Yavo. Hashem's vengeance will come. Hashem will take revenge. Yavo Gmul Elokim. And those of you that have been loyal will get what you deserve in a good way. You'll get your reward. Hu Yavo Bishachem, and he will come and he will save you. Verse 5. Now, people have long since stopped, have been sick, have not been well. And then their eyes will be opened. Einei Ivrim, those that are blind. For Aznei Charashim, and the ears, people that can't hear anymore, Tipa Sachnu, they'll be opened. So all of the problems that people have, they can't see, they can't hear, their knees are bothering, and their ears are bothering, they'll all be fixed, no problem. And he says a very interesting thing, very picturesque, verse 6, people that are lame, you have to kind of picture the people on the wheelchairs and in the walkers, the lame people, you know what's going to happen? They are going to jump, they're going to skip. Oh, the Adalid Kyle. They're going to be jumping around like the aisle, I think, is like a deer. Or he calls it a hart, but it means like a, it's like the certain animals that are, jump around a lot. So all of a sudden, the people that are lame, they're going to jump around like an aisle. They say, and they're going to jump around the Saron, and they're going to sing. They're going to sing songs of happiness. Now, what about it? They couldn't sing? They lost their tongue. Lashon Ilim. The people that were lame are going to be able to dance, and the people that had lost their voices will be able to sing. Ki nivku midbar mayim, and you're going to find in the desert water, unachalim karava, and the plains are going to be like the fertile places. Vahayu hashrav, and the dry places will be la'agam, they'll be like swamps, they'll be like full of water. V'timon lamuvay mayim, and there'll be plenty of water, and places that used to be abandoned and benave tan, and places of wild creatures, rafsa chatzir, all of a sudden they're going to come back to life and they're going to grow things. Lakana, the goma, you'll have reeds and all kinds of things. And so he's describing how Eretz Yisrael will come alive again. Verse 8, v'hayu sham misolo v'derech, and there'll be a path, there'll be a road, the Derek HaKodesh Yikra, and it'll be called the Holy Path. There'll be people will see a vision of where to go. Lo Yaviranu Tame, and people that were impure won't be allowed on the path. People that are only holy people, people that have purified themselves, people that want to do the right things, they'll be admitted. But those that are impure, they can't go on the path. V'hu Lamo Holach, and it'll go on the, people will go on the path. Vavila Mo Yito, and the fools won't go astray. In this world, sometimes a person doesn't mean to do certain things, but sometimes we act foolish, we make mistakes. Hashem says even the fools won't be led astray then, if they mean to do well. Now, what about all the dangers of traveling in those days? Lo yiyah shamar, you don't got to worry about the lions. So it's almost the opposite of the Gentile cities that we had in the last chapter, which are going to be full of wild animals and dangerous. And the cities over here will have security, and they won't have to be afraid of the lions and tigers and bears and all that kind of stuff. They won't even be there. And the people that were redeemed will be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael in security and not have to worry. Verse 10, and those that are redeemed will come back, and when they come back, they'll come back with happy song. They'll come back singing the praises of Hashem. The Simchas Olam, and you know, life has its ups and downs. They always say, you know, when you have a Simcha, you have a Mazel Tov, you have to enjoy it because, you know, the life is a that you have Simchas, and you know, sometimes people have things that's not so happy news. There's always a combination. And so life has its ups and downs, so to speak. It's interesting, we have the egg on Pesach night. That's a custom, and many people, that's what they eat is an egg, and that's the same thing we eat on Tisha B'Av night. And it's Pesach is one of the highlights of the year. Tisha B'Av is one of the saddest days of the year. But it's a cycle. Life, you know, there's a life cycle that has its ups and downs. So here he's saying that the joy is not going to have a down. It's going to be Simchas Olam. Just happiness from now on. That's what we need. Just good. Just only Simchas, right? Simchas Olam. It's going to be a Simcha that lasts forever. And it's going to be on their heads. You know, we all have it on our heads, all Roshim. It'll be on their faces, so to speak. And you'll have two kinds of joy, Safsan and Simcha. They give a whole class just on what the two kinds of joy. It's very interesting. In English, we only have like one word for happiness. Hebrew has like seven different words for happiness. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, Chedva, you know, they're like, all of them are different expressions of joy or happiness. And when you think about it, there are many different types of joy, different nuances and happiness. There's different, you know, there's sometimes a person just hears a joke or they're in a good mood, and sometimes they have satisfaction, and sometimes they have nachas. There's all, and sometimes a person has like a has time of reflection where it's really they're just very thankful and their cup overflows. And so these are the ideas of sasan u'simcha, and so they will reach it. Now sometimes we have a problem is that we're happy, but it doesn't last, and then all of a sudden we get the worries. Like even in the midst of happiness, like a person has their worries that it won't last, it'll be over before it starts, something will go wrong. So Hashem says this happiness, it's going to run away, yagam v'nacha, all the woes and sighing, banish it, take that away. Let's have just permanent happiness, just good. That's the goal over here. I just wanted to mention that when we bench with the bride and groom, there's a prayer there in the beginning of the benching where it mentions that this blessing. There's an idea that with each new couple, with each new family unit that comes to being, that's one of the things we celebrate at a wedding, that's a new force in the Jewish people when the two couples get together. And so we hope that this new force is another building block on the building of the rebuilding of the temple, because every new Jewish family that comes into the world, it brings us one step closer to that. That's why it's, you know, Od Yishama Ba'orei Yehuda, that we hope that, you know, at a wedding that we hear the beginning of redemption. That's what we talk about. It's the beginning, or we hope this will lead us to that. And the benching for a wedding, we actually mentioned this blessing of Yeshaya, that the person that's lame will dance, and we have a sitter here. Yeah, so it's on. This is on the blessing for the Sheva Brachas. So what we say is, Davai Haser V'Gam Charon. Hashem should begin to remove the banish. He says to banish pain and also wrath. In other words, like it says over here, that he's going to take away pain. Va'az Ilaim B'Shir Yaron. And then the mute person, the person who's lost his voice, will sing a happy song. So that's straight from here, that the mute people will sing. That was what we said over here on in verse 6. And the tongue of the mute shall sing. And so we say that with the, you know, with the new couple, we say that Hashem should banish anger and pain and heal the people, and that the mute people will be able to sing. And that's, in other words, that should begin to come. He's hinting to this blessing over here that that Yeshaya mentions, which is the messianic wishes. And when you think about it, the Shir HaMalos is really referring to that. When you say the Shir HaMalos, that, you know, that in the future time when we'll come and we'll sing a happy song, and that's all But some of that, actually, like I said, it comes from this these words here. It's a beautiful, you know, a beautiful blessing. A person reads it, it gives him hope. In other words, that there's the idea that, yes, there is a lot of pain and suffering, and there is a... We study history to show that Hashem's promises do come true and have come true, and we hope that, and we'll get to see this in our time, where the banish the pain and suffering, and be able to experience the joy. Okay, we'll stop here on 36. Sir, have a good day, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.